with a tummy flopping, life-changing boo. Cragport's Victorian lighthouse stuck up out of the chalk cliff that jutted into the North Sea's foam-crusted swill, rotting itself quietly into the ground, just as it had for years. A red and white swirl job, like a fairground helter-skelter, half bleached by slashes of seagull guano. It was about 90 feet high and indecently phallic, arched windows long denuded of glass at intervals all the way up, and a round knob crowning the lantern room on top. Once upon a time, this beacon that was had beamed Cragport's fishermen safely home, but its light had gone out for good decades ago, and these days all locals saw was an eyesore, if they noticed it at all. Cracked and graffiti-covered, this one-time colossus was just another broken thing in a town full of them. I passed it every morning walking Monty. I barely noticed it, like everyone else. It was just furniture for a background, marked daily as Monty's property, through the medium of a sly little wee up the side. That day a man was there, nailing a notice to a half-rotten wooden door at a little distance from us. I put Monty on his lead before he decided both man and lighthouse belonged to him. And it was damp trouser time. Morning. The man turned to flash us a bright smile. There had no place at any self-respecting person's face at that time on a damp Saturday. It was like he wasn't even hungover. Surreal. Morning. I nodded to him as we passed, but something in his smile made me stop. I hadn't seen him around Cragport before, though he had the town's own Yorkshire twang. Squinting at him in the sun's white glare, I could just about make him out. Tall, broad, with longish hair, and a rash of stubble, dressed in jeans and a padded jacket to keep out all the chill nor'wester. And he were gorgeous. Really bloody gorgeous. I mean, if you went for that chiselled, roughened look. He wasn't my type, but still, it was hard not to stare. You didn't see many bodies like that around town. Not since Jess had dragged me off to see the Dream Boys last year. "What's it say?" I asked him, pointing to the notice. I had to raise my voice a little so he could hear me over the yammerings of an increasingly toothsome cliff-top wind. "They're not pulling the whole thing down, are they?" "They can't." He tapped in the last nail and turned to face me. "Listed building." "Oh, good." I wasn't quite sure why I said that. Something about the derelict lighthouse disappearing from the skyline rankled. "So what's the notice for? Is it for sale?" "Yep." His face broke into a broad grin. "Why, you want to buy it?" "A lighthouse?" I laughed and gestured down at my scruffy stonewashed jeans and too big hoodie with fashionable bleach stain combo. My hungover dog walking costume of choice. "Don't let this well-heeled exterior fool you, mate. I don't start the day with a swim in a Scrooge McDuck money bin. You may be surprised to learn." "You don't need to. Here." He beckoned me to the side and I skimmed the laminated notice fixed to the door. "Lighthouse for sale. £1. First offer gets it. No time wasters. Call 01947 482 704 to inquire." "A quid," I said to the man with a puzzled frown. "Oh, and it's Bobby, by the way." I was hoping you'd tell me his name in return so I could stop thinking of him as the man. "I know," he said, bending to stash his hammer in a small toolbox on the ground. I cocked a quizzical eyebrow. "You know what? I know you're Bobby." What? Unless the extra year I'd added to my age that morning had just shoved me arse first into a full-on senior moment, I was pretty certain I'd never seen this bloke before in my life. Monty was tugging at his lead, keen to claim the rest of the walk, but I ignored him. My stomach gave a sudden lurch. Could there have been some drunken hookup I'd forgotten about? If so, it'd have to have been a long time ago. It was getting on for 9 months since I'd last seen any action in that department. I mean, yes, it was only 6 months since the big breakup, but that was a whole other story. The man straightened to face me. Now the blinding sun had disappeared behind the cloud, I could see him more clearly. The deep green eyes were flecked with silver, lightly sparkling as he squinted into the wind. And there was something in his face, a crinkle around the eyes, as if he was enjoying a private joke at someone else's expense. He reached up to push away the rusty brown hair that was whipping around his forehead. That face, it did seem familiar, a half-remembered smile.
"Ross," I said.